All right, we are here with Dominika Switzen. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. She is a clinical psychologist. So tell us a little about yourself.
Yes. So I came to United States from Poland in 1999. And the main reason that drove me here was my husband, Luke Switzen, that was interviewed earlier here. We met when we were teenagers and we did our long distance relationship for 4 years. And when we decided that we wanted to spend life together, it looked like me moving to US, rather him moving back to Poland, was the right thing to do. So I didn't initially know what I wanted to do in terms of my profession. I knew I wanted to go to college. I knew I wanted to do something important, and being in academia was my drive. And, you know, when you're 21, you want to change the world. When I started just basic courses at the college, and I started with community college, I realized that, you know, social studies, psychology, mental health were my interests. So that's sort of professionally where I went from there. Taking on more classes and meeting people. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to apply yourself everywhere you can, seeing advertisements for things that interest you, being curious about the world. So you can do anything you want, and it sounds cliche, but things are out there. When you apply yourself, when you show up, when you show interest, one story I like to always share when talking about my journey getting PhD through bachelor's and master's program and getting into one of the most competitive PhD programs in US. And I think it is achievement for a person with English second language, someone who had to take GRE 5 times. Because it was just the math and language and the way of taking exams were not jiving with me. But ultimately succeeding and getting to that PhD program. One story is I saw on the bus advertisements for research project that recruited persons with schizophrenia. I myself don't have the illness, but thought like, well, gee, maybe I can help do anything, just flip papers, help them organize. So I called them, asked if I could help out. At the point I was already in master's program, and sure enough, they needed help. I worked with them, actually made quite a good earnings, and worked for 2 years. It was an incredible job. It was a startup that was very successful collecting genetic information and banking it for further research and for pharmaceuticals. That job looked really good on my CV and landed me a next position. It was at San Diego State University Neuroscience Department, because they were quite impressed with recruitment skills that I had to show and working with individuals with severe mental illness. Working for that lab, I got to publish. I wasn't the first author. I wasn't a grad student yet. I was a clinical study coordinator. But because I worked on the studies and worked in the laboratory and did a lot of interesting things, I was on the publications. And publications were the token of, you know, appreciation and sort of a currency that gets you farther. And that's what got me to grad school. I mean, as a shortcut, not only that, you have to have scores, you have to meet all the requirements. But just that ride on the bus and looking at advertisement and seeing like, huh, maybe I can do it. Maybe I can help out.
So just to recap the whole thing. So you had no plans of coming to the U.S. Love that basically brought you here. Okay, so you get here to the U.S. You want to build some kind of career, some opportunity.
Yep.
You see a sign on a bus saying we're looking for subjects.
Yep.
And you go, well, it's not a job opportunity, but I'm going to call and just ask anyways. Yep. And they gave you the job and that just started to the next one, to the next one, to the next one.
Yeah. And I think this is a very representative of what people say America, right?
Yeah.
Dreams come true here. And that is true. Sometimes it's hard to see for people who has been disenfranchised or who are going through hardship. It's really hard to see it.
Yeah.
But in my experience, and I lived in Poland for 21 years, and especially during times of communism, there were no opportunities like that. You couldn't show up. Nobody would see you. Nobody, the doors were not opening. If you didn't have money or parents or connections, it was impossible. There's no loan system for college as it is here.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm with debt, but I can pay it. There is a program. There's a scaffolding in place.
Mm.
that will help you and assist you to basically achieve anything you want.
Yeah.
And with hard work and imagination, just drive, really. Because I don't think I'm like extraordinary talented. I am a hard worker,
yeah,
but I'm not a genius.
Yeah.
It is possible, and that's very different. I lived in both countries. Mm. And with myself the way I am, with all the faculties I have, I could have not done it in Poland.
Wow.
It just, there wouldn't be a path. So when I think about of a younger self, I was like, gosh, it was just a fluke that I met him and I decided to come here. Psychology doesn't really exist the same way in Poland because funding is not there.
Yeah.
Most of information, what we know about science of psychology, neuroscience, comes from US. There is some social psychology field that it's quite blooming in Poland. But other than that, most of the stuff that we know and it is presented and practiced in Poland comes from the West, from US. I don't think I would be able, my hands would be tied, and you know, thousands of people live that way. So I feel fortunate. I feel like this was almost like just by chance. At the same time, I know that I took a part in a lot of what I did. So part of my work in communities, in my profession as a clinician, as a community worker, is I want to bring people to realization, to realizing themselves and making the most of themselves and seeing it helping them sort of have their own journey. Maybe they don't see. That's why I love working with immigrants. I love working with refugees. I love working with groups that maybe struggle at some point in the moment that they can see it. Because I came here with two suitcases. I had no background. I had no credit. I had no money. My family wasn't here. And it was possible. So players, pieces are there. You just have to have, I guess, self-belief, which is already a lot. And perseverance, you know, but pieces are there to
yeah.
pick up and go.
And ask when even the question's not even there. Ask when people aren't even asking for you. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So what hurdles have you, and I know there's probably an absorbent amount of hurdles that you've overcome, but are there like one or two hurdles that you've seen in your life to get you to the point that you are here today that you've had to like fight through or?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, when we lived apart, for 4 to 5 years when I was in grad school in Madison, Wisconsin, and my husband was in Chicago finishing his residency in general surgery, that was difficult. You know, figuring out finances when you have two apartments and a kid and a daycare and you travel a lot. But again, there were grants, there were help for single moms, which I was a regional single mom, and there were loans, but these were stuff that sometimes, you know, you encounter like a bump or something is impossible, that was frustrating. But nothing that ever just sort of cut my wings. You know, like I said, the small things you don't sweat, just see a big picture. As long as you know, you're healthy and you're well and you wake up every day and then there is just, you know, space in front of you, just go get it.
What's your big picture? What's that drive? What's that motivation?
I think joy of life and enjoying what you're doing, enjoying people. I like connecting, and that is inherently related to my job. I love what I'm doing. I love the process of getting there. I think what motivated me was a little bit different. The way I saw the field of psychology was strictly academia and doing research and lecturing. Now I do less of that and I share this time with clinical work. But connecting with people and I think ultimately joy of life, you know, it just really drives me.
How did you know that joy was possible? Like that's, I mean, if you never, maybe you have seen the small
yeah.
spurts of it and you wanted to drag it out, but knowing that idea of that
mm-hmm.
big time joy was possible, what?
I think curiosity also.
Okay, okay.
Curiosity about things, you know, what gets you signed up to school? You know, I want to see this class. It's kind of interesting. It will be fun to meet people there. Just the small things.
Wow.
You know, maybe you envision a certain job that you want and then looks pretty cool and you know that these are the steps. I would take a big thing, big idea, and divide it into smaller portions.
Mm.
So I don't think I saw myself as this doctor at some point working in the hospital, but I saw myself as a student and I like that idea. I felt like this was really important. And in Poland, actually, when you go to university, you have to, most people dress up. They wear suits. They had their little briefcase. They wore high heels. So here I am going into community college. Of course, everybody is laid back. It's actually in a pretty dark side of town in Chicago, like in the hood. And here I go, just dressed up in the gray suit and everything. I celebrated it. I was so proud that I'm in U.S., in America. And I'm going, it doesn't matter that I'm on their train tracks. It doesn't matter. It's, you know.
Did any of them think you're the teacher?
They thought I work in a bank. They thought I work in some bit. So actually, they were not looking at me weird because they thought I came from the job somewhere. Most students, it's community college. Most students were juggling jobs or kids, or there were many people from different countries. I was sitting right next to the physician from China who just didn't speak any English. That's where he was starting. So, I mean, humble beginnings. One of my internships was at Northwestern. My office was on Michigan Avenue. It's a significant mile. And I was like, how did I get here from like small community college? And like my office is on Michigan Avenue right now. It's pretty cool, you know, but it's small things and just enjoying that and seeing. I think people forget what they have, you know. Yeah. I think I never want to forget where I came from, like how important, and just like really small things. Don't take it for granted. Divide your big idea, big goal into smaller pieces and marvel in that. And when you achieve that, move on. And always be ready for adjustment. When I was 21 starting, I thought that there was no other way, no other happiness or fulfillment other than getting PhD. Now, ironically, after completing it a couple years ago, I'm like, well, you know, I could probably do something else too, you know? And it's not in the negative way, but it's in the way that there are many options. So sometimes don't get hung up on something. And if you decide to change or it's just not working out, it's okay to change. And it's okay to be great in some other way. And that's probably, you know, it's like, wow, that many hours spent on studying and so much debt. And I'm like, I didn't have to do that. But I do enjoy what I'm doing. But I'm also realizing there are many ways to be happy and fulfilled.
Was there a moment, or what was that first moment? I don't know if you remember, when you're 21, you come over to the U.S., mm-hmm. that you knew that you're in a different place, like in a different, like just, it was different.
You know, I visited a couple times before as a kid.
Okay, you did, okay.
So, yes, you know, funny thing, it was like stores. We didn't have anything, that the strobe lights, the smell of plastic and the glimmer of all these beautiful things. I mean, I was just, you know, shocked. This was overwhelming to me to see so much product, you know.
Yeah.
We don't buy, and communism, Poland, 80s or 90s, like we don't, you know, people own 3 pairs of shoes, and when they buy a jacket, it's a big event, it's once a year, and just the wealth of U.S. here, and the colorfulness, and I even looked at this, I'm like, I think the sky is bluer here when I was young, but that this actually, interestingly, wasn't enough for me to want to live here. We kind of struggled. I wanted to go back to Poland.
Oh, wow.
I felt like the culture is there. For the longest time, I didn't understand humor here. I felt like I don't quite click. I can't express myself. So you're 21 and you feel like you're 6. You know? You can't join the conversation. You can't be witty. You can't be interesting. You feel like you cannot. All I can is to smile and say, hi, I'm from Poland.
Yeah.
It took a while for me to gain confidence, and it came with language, it came with knowing the culture, and I still have huge gaps. Like, I have never seen Star Wars.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Please don't turn off the episode after that, guys.
Although they did play it in Poland, but a lot, you know, friends, a lot of cultural iconic things that people grew on. But you know, I embrace it now. I use it as kind of some funny thing to know about me. I don't think, you know, I still make spelling mistakes. You know, sometimes I make fun of it. It's like, yeah, I'm a doctor, and I will sometimes. And just, you know, not, I do embrace my journey and where I came from and who I am with all its colors. And, but you know, I feel like I am part of this country and this culture definitely more than Poland. I've been here 20 years. And you know, I couldn't have been more fulfilled and feeling like I'm in the right place. You know, I still try to cultivate a lot of cultural things from back home, and we have 3 boys that we raise with a lot of knowledge about Poland. We try to visit as much as we can, but you know, I'm definitely part of here and now life.
So if you could And I know you've given a lot of advice, a lot of feedback on what kept you pushing through. If you could look back at everything you've accumulated, and maybe someone else, or maybe a younger self, a 21-year-old, or someone else that's looking to come from another country to the U.S., what kind of advice would you give them?
Yeah, this, you know, one thing that I've already mentioned is being very active and on the lookout always, seeing everything as a possibility, but also connecting with others. I definitely received a ton of help, and there are people who really want to promote you, who want to be mentors, whether it's teachers, but just ask, you know, go for it. One of the ways I was always described by my recommendation letter writers was she's a go-getter. And what that really means is that, you know, I speak out, I have the conversation, I inquire, be curious. But again, it has to be something that interests you. It has to be something that you want to get into, or answer some questions. Maybe it's a way of life. You want to make a lot of money and you want to have certain lifestyle. And in order to do it, you have to be an entrepreneur or be a social butterfly. Whatever it is that is your goal, see it as in the smaller portions, as I mentioned, but also connect with other people. Look at resources, look what's available. There's much more out there than we think. I think people just sort of get idea, they try maybe one thing, and if it doesn't hit them in the head, they stop. That's just the beginning, you know, and you might make 3 steps forward and then 1 back, but ultimately you're going forward. My grants that I was writing, research grants, many that were returned, and if felt really bad. It felt like I will never get there. I was rejected from colleges multiple times until I wasn't, you know, and so that's part of the process, seeing it as part of a process, your failure.
What's next for your practice, for you? What's next?
Well, I don't know if Luke talked about it, but we've moved so much. We lived in a Midwest between Illinois and Wisconsin and Utah and in California. And so we want to settle down. So we want to slow down, settle somewhere, buy a house, and raise our kids. I want to work at the hospital. I want to try the other way. My friends always know, like, no, you can't do it. You always do something crazy. Like, who does grad school with one kid without your husband, juggling a couple things on top of this work? You do this crazy research where you drive to a different state. You collect blood samples. Like, there's always something crazy going on with me, and they know it. They know that I just love to juggle. The opposite. We want to slow down, actually, and kind of, like, sit in it. It's time for cruising now. Maybe a few years until we maybe rejuvenated and we have some other ideas. Kids are older. But for now, we want to cruise, enjoy our jobs, stay in one place. So like I said, I would work in the hospital setting. I'm still on my maternity leave, but Luke is also developing his practice. We're watching our boys grow. So that's what's next.
Fair enough. So if someone's looking for your services, they're in the area, how would they get a hold of you, or how would they find your practice?
I don't work in a private practice. I work at my last job was at the Long Beach VA.
Okay.
And I'm currently working on getting back into VA system. So they can find me probably in one of the local VAs. I love working with veterans. And if not that, it's probably Kaiser and hospitals, yeah. Or just by Googling, I'm on Lincoln, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, thank you again, Dominique, for all your time.
You.
All you entrepreneurs out there, please take a listen, please subscribe, and tell your friends.